Well, here we are again on a Friday, week's end. How are you today? Yesterday, we were talking about how sin affects us within the church and what Jesus does about that sin. And you know, I have a lot of compassion for people who have been hurt by the church. As a pastor and someone who has served in other capacities in Christ's church, as a lay leader in Boston and Asia, I'm always deeply troubled and disturbed when someone shares with me their hurt from some experience they had being among God's people. I remember, even as a child, being stunned by how Christians could sometimes treat one another. We had a lot of conflict, much of it fed by constant gossip going on in the church I grew up in, and that impacted me. I'd sometimes go home after worship and think, is this really how one Christian is going to treat another? Thankfully, by God's grace, I did not give up on the church. I did not sprint away, vowing and keeping my vow to never return. But I know many young people who did, and that disturbs me. When I became a pastor later in my life, I'd have people in my congregation come to me and say, "We're thinking about leaving." And I'd say, "Not so fast. What's troubling you?" It always came down to some sin committed relating to others in the congregation. And I'd tell people, "If you decide to leave here and go elsewhere, I guess I can live with that, but not until we first address the conflict that you're having with someone else here." And most people did not like it when I said that. But I insisted. And remarkably, on several occasions, as we worked out difficulties and sin was repented of before God and one another, members of the church did not leave, but stayed and continued to strive together in unity. Always, this took time. It is a huge time investment to properly care for people, but it's worth it. Building unity in Christ's church is always worth it. And that's part of the ministry of being a spiritual leader. Now, to be sure, sometimes individuals, couples, and families did move on, but prayerfully, not before they at least were given a clear opportunity to express sorrow for their own sin and to receive forgiveness from others, and to have another say to their face, "I sinned against you, and I'm sorry." Because if this process was not given space and time to work, then whenever someone leaves one church for another, huffing and puffing, storming out angrily and with unresolved conflict, you know what happens? They all take that turmoil right into another congregation. It follows them wherever they go. And years go by, and the angst just builds and builds, negatively affecting the people of God elsewhere, even in different cities, towns, or countries. I've seen it. I've seen someone take the angst from a church in America and bring it to a church in Hong Kong. And so, as we are now called to remember that Jesus knows about sin in the church and deals with it through discipline, let's pray before we jump back into verse 15 of Revelation chapter 1. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you today to pray for the body of believers in your Son, Jesus Christ, the authentic global church. Jesus is the Lord of the church, the head of your body, and we acknowledge that we sin against you and one another in this church. As we learned yesterday, in the book of Hebrews teaches us that you will discipline us when we sin. Help us to receive your discipline, to take the correction, to be sons and daughters who learn our lessons well. I pray today for people within the sound of my voice who have been hurt, very hurt, by the church. O Lord, please have mercy on them. May they sense and know your great love for them. Draw this man and this woman back into fellowship with other Christ followers this day. With Sunday coming and communities of believers in action, if we are physically able, may we get out of bed and out to the door and be part of the body of Christ, despite what has happened to us in the past. Remind us that you have always been, you are, and you will always be the Lord of the church. Help us to trust you to deal with the sin therein. You deal with the sin therein. We give it to you. In the name of Jesus, amen. I remind you that the church and sin within it has come up because we're applying Revelation 1 verses 10 and following to our lives. This passage of the New Testament shows us how Christ responds to transgressions within his church. And so let's tie up verse 15 of Revelation 1. In Revelation 1, verse 15, John writes of Jesus, his voice was like the sound of many waters. And I want you to see that through the Bible, the voice like the sound of many waters is God's voice. And Jesus, of course, is God, so that when he speaks to John, this is what John hears. If when you have a chance, go all the way back in your Bible to the Old Testament prophecy of Ezekiel, you'll find the following. My task today is to just get these texts on your mind. The prophet Ezekiel is receiving the word of God, and listen to what he writes in two parts. The first part is Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 24. I also heard the sound of their wings like the sound of abundant waters, as they went, like the voice of the Almighty, a sound of tumult like the sound of an army camp. Whenever they stood, they dropped their wings. The second part is Ezekiel chapter 43 and verse 2. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was coming from the way of the east, and his voice was like the sound of many waters, and the earth shone with his glory. Did you hear that? The sound of abundant waters, the voice of the Almighty, and the God of Israel, his voice was like the sound of many waters. What John heard in Revelation 1 is exactly what Ezekiel heard in his prophecy. The same God is speaking to both men, and this is what his voice sounds like. When Jesus speaks, he brings forth the glory and majesty of God, and we know now what Jesus in heaven sounds like. Do you like the water? I mean the rushing, bubbling, pounding, throbbing waters of a great and mighty ocean. Maybe such that you've watched and heard flowing over the side of a great waterfall? For example, have you been to Niagara Falls? In my life, I have had the pleasure of being out in the ocean, on ocean liners, and sometimes in stormy weather. And my, how the waves crashed across the bow of the mighty marine vessel, the ship we were on. I do not get seasick easily, but at times we were being rocked back and forth so hard, it got to the point where I needed to lie down. And I remember one time, my wife and I were traveling in Russia, and we went to visit the summer palace of Peter the Great. Wow, it was stunning. If you have an opportunity to go see it, don't say no. Anyway, we left there by boat, which docked in the lake right alongside the palace, and this was one of those low-to-the-water vessels and really tight on the inside. I took the window seat and we took off at quite a speed. Well, the water was literally pounding on the glass right up against my eyes. At times it got so rocky, the waves went right up over us and it felt to me that we were sinking. The sound of the water was so loud that it drowned out the voices of all the other tourists in the tight space inside the boat. Boosh, boosh, boosh. The sound of the water. This left an impression on me such that I thought about it again as I prepared Revelation 1, verse 15, for our time together. I will not forget what the water sounded like. And according to John, this is what Jesus sounds like. Ah, what will it be like to hear him speak directly to us this one day when we meet him in person? The voice of the Lord is like the sound of many waters. I hear other Christians talking about God's voice, and they refer to it as God whispering to them, or sometimes God's voice being a still, small voice. I take their point. This is the sound of gentle blowing when God spoke to Elijah in 1 Kings 19, verse 12. Yes, Yahweh speaks gently to some of his people, some of the time, right here in the Bible. But we also have the remainder of the testimony scripture to consider. And as we follow God in the text, we come to such scriptures as Job 37, verse 2. Listen closely to the thunder of his voice and the rumbling that goes out from his mouth. That's Job 37, 2, if you're taking notes. And then in the next chapter of Job, Job 38, verse 1, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, that is Job 38, verse 1. The whirlwind is hardly a still, small, quiet, whispering voice. Or listen to the psalmist describe God's voice in Psalm 77, verse 18. The sound of your thunder was in the whirlwind. The lightnings lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Ah, but you say, these are all Old Testament passages. It's true, they are. But God's voice does not change in the New Testament. God is the same in the New as he was in the Old. God never changes. In John chapter 12, God the Father answers Jesus the Son in an audible voice. And listen to the description of this in John chapter 12 and verses 28 and 29. Jesus says, "Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came out of heaven. "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." So the crowd of people who stood by and heard it were saying that it had thundered. Note that. The crowd said it had thundered. God the Father sounds like thunder. Next time you hear thunder, think of the voice of God. God is power, and Jesus is God such that his voice is like the sound of many waters. Let this marinate in your mind and heart this weekend. For those of you worshiping the Lord with others tomorrow and Sunday, listen for the voice of God thundering, trembling, crashing against you like rushing water during your exaltation of his Son, Jesus the Christ. As the vitality of the Holy Spirit surges within you, and the Bible is taught, and you receive his word to you, wait for the sound of many waters. On Monday, we return to Revelation 1. In preparation for that, read a little ahead. I'll recommend something manageable, just 3 verses. Read Revelation chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. That's Revelation 1, 16 to 18. Certainly, you have time to do this. Make time. You won't regret it. We're nearing the end of this great chapter, but there is still so much more that we have to learn that God wants to teach each one of us. So hang in there with me, hang in there together, and enjoy your weekend, and then come along and be back on Monday at this same time as we continue to learn who God is.